Hey everybody, this is Ellie.
This is Annie.
And welcome to
Those Spooky Bitches.
All right guys, so as promised from our last episode, today we're actually going to be talking about the Bell Witch, which is folklore from Adams, Tennessee, is actually where it had started out and originated. The Bell Witch to me is something that kind of was steeped in my entire childhood because I remember going over to one of the ladies at church. I would always hang out with her granddaughter after church. And, you know, we would play around and catch our little fireflies, stuff like that. Like little kids, we'd make peanut butter cookies and things like that. And then we would go sit in front of the fireplace and her grandmother would always talk about the Bell Witch. And she would give us like all these different spooky stories and stuff. So we were terrified, needless to say, when we were that little. And like I said, kind of previously in the other episode, like it was our Candyman, it was our Bloody Mary. You go to the bathroom, you turn out the light, you say her name three times. And it was said that she could scratch you, that you would have like fingerprints where she grabbed you, stuff like that. And neither one of us would ever do it. We would never make it to three. We would do like one or two, that's it. We would chicken out.
Not a chance.
This is just like not messing with her. But also what was so interesting too is my great grandfather's family owned the property for a while.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes,
what are you just now telling me?
Yes, I am. So I unfortunately have not found anyone in that family for me to actually call and interview. I'm still searching for that. And if I ever find them, I promise you guys, if I get the interview, we're airing it. But they were always talking about how like they would be in the milk barn trying to come home. And they said that it literally felt like some dark presence was over them, kind of behind them, following them back and forth all over the property all the time. And there were just spooky things like that always happening as well. So my mom had told me that when I was little and I recently asked her about it. And she's like, well, you know, I didn't hear very many stories about it. And I'm like, well, I want all of the stories about this because that's important to me.
This is my love language. You must tell me about the witch.
Please tell me about the witch. even when I was a little kid, I went to this like little private Christian school that I absolutely hated. But when we would do like Tennessee history kind of stuff, one time I actually did draw a big poster because we had to do a poster board for our papers. And I did like the mirror and I did like no one was in front of the mirror, but the spirit was in the mirror kind of thing. And I have the drawing skills of like a 3-year-old. So that was fun.
But I can't even draw a stick figure.
I know, I'm horrible. Now, the one thing that I did excel at is I made myself a little log cabin out of pretzels, and I put incense in the chimney.
Of course you did.
I did.
I love that.
So, yeah, and I delivered my little story about that. But I've actually spoken to other people off and on over the years. One guy was part of a construction crew company. He said that every single time they would try to go to repair something on that property, it would break down. No matter what it was,
the equipment would break down. Huh.
Yeah, it would just break down, wouldn't work at all. If they took it off the property, it worked just fine.
Oh, that would make me mad.
Yeah, I know, right? But everyone knows because around here, it's not skepticism. It is, that's the witch. It was the witch. It was old Kate. She's the one that did it. She's the one that still haunts everybody.
Right.
And there are people are seeing all kinds of scenes and stuff like that, even nowadays. Annie's going to talk about like the manifestations and everything. And there are people still seeing those manifestations in and around that area.
It's very popular for like ghost hunting.
It is.
And they, you know, they've had, it's been on episode of Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel.
Which I haven't seen.
Me either. And I feel like a fake fan because I really should watch it. But anyway, keep going.
Another thing too is if you ever do make it to Tennessee, people will always go to Nashville or Memphis. If you're in the Nashville area, definitely go check it out, especially because the cave tours start in May. But throughout the year, there are some different things. And in October, the last couple of weekends of October, they actually have a play called Spirit. I still haven't been to it, so now I'm the fake fan.
Wait, I haven't even been either.
I know. I have been born and raised here, and I still have never attended the Spirit Festival.
I haven't done that. I didn't even know they had a festival until right now in this moment. But also, in a way, like I have not even gone close to it because I truly don't want to come home with a new
that
spirit
energy.
Friend.
No.
Yeah, I just don't want to. I don't want that to happen. So, but yeah, it would be super fun. I would definitely recommend going.
We should do that this year. And then in May, like I've already got it ready because sometimes the caves will flood, and I think that's why they don't do it earlier in the year. But I'm gonna go to the cave. I know it's not a very big issue, and you can't take any pictures, but I still like I have to go this year. It's my year to go and just do things.
Be one with the witch.
Yes.
Well, maybe not.
And my life. Just like really really and truly doing what I want and going out and actually doing things with my life. But yeah, I do. I absolutely have those plans, is to go visit the cave. And then they also have the museums there. There's like an actual museum, I think kind of like a cabin that they've mocked up of the things that have been there. They have a cafeteria now where the old Bilwich School was, which my mom, I think, actually attended for a little while before she went to Joe Burns. Yeah.
I didn't realize it was, like, so significant.
It's very significant. Yeah. And, like, when you go out there, I mean, like, everyone says, you know, with a shrug, what can I tell you? It's the witch, you know? Yeah. So it's just, like, no one doubts it at all.
Right.
And, you know, this was supposed to be a haunting just for a short time. And it is, like, 100-something years later, and we're still seeing going. Kate.
Yeah.
So that's just my little two cents.
So from my perspective, I was born and raised in Nashville, and I wasn't really, I didn't have all of like the familial ties or the historical ties into the property or anything like that. Just for those who have never heard of the Bilwich, this is a real farm, a real property. In just a second, I'm going to get into the story behind what the Bilwich even is or why it's significant. But these were real people, real property, real place, actually exists. That's why we're talking about you can go to the cave, you can go see the farm, you can go walk around, etc. But I didn't really pay much attention to the place itself. I just knew of the legend, very similar to how we were talking a second ago with the mirror. And it was like a fun, spooky thing. You talked about it, slumber parties.
Oh, yeah.
And it was kind of like, I dare you to call the Bell Witch. I dare you to do it. And I could not do it. I was so afraid. I remember laying in bed, like covers up to my ears, warm and cozy at like 8 years old. And I had a kind of a second story window just because we lived on a hill. And I remember thinking like I could hear her scratching on my window.
Oh my gosh.
And it would just like turn my stomach. It was the scariest thing. But it was just part of, like, childhood for us. It was just part of what we knew, which is so interesting. I can't even tell you the first time I heard about it. It was just, like, something I knew about.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys the legend of the Bell Witch so you have a better idea of what's going on. I do want to give a quick, like, trigger warning for anybody who's listening and maybe feeling extra sensitive today. Sometimes things can...
We are going to get better about that too. Like making sure we warn you guys before delivering some kind of possible triggering content.
Yes. So, and you know, we just want to make sure we're taking care of you, that you're enjoying this experience as much as we're enjoying this experience. So for the purposes of this episode, there's going to be a trigger warning for witches, ghost apparitions, physical assault, sexual assault, and also potentially unaliving oneself. So if any of those things disrupt you or upset you, then maybe check out a different episode and we'll see you there. But for now, I'm going to move on into the story of the Bell Witch so you guys know what I'm talking about. This started in the year 1804, and it was on a 320-acre farm along the Red River banks in North Robertson, Tennessee. John Bell, his wife, and children settled into this new property. They had just moved there. John was very proud of his involvement in the local church, the Red River Baptist Church. He even served
moved from North Carolina. All the people left and settled here in the church.
And that's what started it?
Yeah.
That's so interesting. It's interesting how, well, okay.
Sorry.
No, I'm into it. I love learning about stuff like that. But I can't even imagine, like, it's 2022, Avi. But, like, 1804... Can you imagine
packing up a whole church?
A church?
From North Carolina to the middle of Tennessee.
And it was probably the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Like, absolutely nothing here. But that's, I couldn't imagine doing that.
The land was more fertile, and everybody, that's why, like, there's such a big tobacco, and of course grains and stuff. Like, I grew up raising tobacco and grains and everything. But that's it. Yeah, it was a bigger opportunity, large acre farms, really fertile ground.
Right.
So they all just popped up here.
Very Oregon Trail.
Yes.
Yeah.
You will get dysentery.
But yeah, so John served as a deacon in the Red River Baptist Church. He was involved in the church for sure. Religion and faith was important to him and his family. Life on the Bell Farm was pretty peaceful at first. The first 13 years, they lived there anyway. And on that 13th year, everything changed forever. It began at first with some strange animals that were visiting the farm. People, John and other people on the farm, were viewing apparitions of what appeared to be a black dog that would roam the property and kind of stare in the distance under a tree. There'd be a black dog staring at you, looking into your soul, so to speak.
And that's the one that people do still see, is like the big black. They said that they don't know, it's not really a cat, it's not a dog, but it's huge, it has red eyes, you know, kind of thing. And also too, fun fact is John was pretty greedy and he had a way with contracts, and he scorned one of the church members, which ended up getting him excommunicated.
Oh.
And that's where all this started, because it's that scorned member that did this.
Yes, yes, yes. We're going to get there too. Okay, so we saw the black dog roaming the property, and then suddenly, over a little bit of time, the family members began to report knocking sounds on the doors and the outer walls of the home. They heard scratching, sounds of rats gnawing on bedposts, chains clunking about, and stones being dropped onto the wooden floors. There was about a full year that they lived in a silent terror before John actually decided to confide about the things that were going on the farm with a neighbor. And that neighbor's name was James Johnson. Mm-hmm. James decided he was going to come over and see what was going on for himself. So James and John spent a night together at the farm. And after all of his experiences, they decided they wanted to investigate a bit further, because it was just kind of crazy what was going on. It ended up that they were drawing crowds that would come and visit the farm because they also wanted to witness the paranormal activity. And during these investigations, they had questioned the spirit that was causing all of the uproar, and the unseen force announced itself as Kate. So who is Kate? Kate Batts. Kate was a neighbor to the Bell family. It's alleged that she and John once had a transgression concerning land ownership. That's what we were talking about earlier. Because little greedy John, he wanted to cheat his way into some more land. Aside from wanting to torture John, Kate also wanted to prevent John's daughter, Betsy, from marrying a local boy, Joshua. And so because Kate was living, but it is said that she conjured the spirit that haunts the land and was terrorizing the family. And so that's how the spirit became known as the Bell's Witch, or the Bell Witch. They also called the witch Kate, Old Kate.
Yeah, Old Kate, yeah.
There's lots of different names for the entity itself, but it's rumored that Kate conjured it and sent it on its wild rampage around the Bells. So Kate spent 3 years tormenting John and his daughter Betsy, the most out of everybody. John would experience spells of throat swelling, difficulty swallowing. I'm also having throat swelling. Is it the witch? Difficulty swallowing and the feeling of a stick being lodged in his throat, which I don't know about y'all, but if you've ever taken a vitamin and it's gotten stuck there, that's annoying, so poor John. Betsy's hair was pulled, she was scratched, she was poked with needles, she was frequently beaten. Kate had a vast power, and she definitely weakened the family immensely. She was intelligent, she was calculated, and rumored to be in multiple places at one time. Yep. Her conjured entity enjoyed referencing biblical texts, and she used her intelligence to participate in full conversations. And she even repeated word-for-word sermons that were delivered in local churches.
At the same time.
She delivered two sermons at the same time from churches that were miles away from each other.
Like, I think it was like 50 miles. It was a significant difference. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know a lot about distance because I do not.
Well, that was one of those. One of them was all the way up in, I think, Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken.
I feel like you're right.
I want to say.
So yeah, she did a lot of crazy things. The witch lovingly referred to John as Old Jack, and she threatened to kill him frequently throughout the haunting. But on December 20th, 1820, John Bell lost his battle to Kate via poison. After John's death, Betsy called off her engagement to Joshua in an effort not to encourage the witch's behavior. And Kate left the family, but not before declaring that she was returned to them in 7 years. And in fact, in 1828, Kate's witch returned to visit the family as promised, but the family did not encourage her behavior, and she quickly left them alone again. So that's kind of the story of the Bell Witch, so to speak, the shorter version of the story of the Bell Witch.
Absolutely.
So I know you are the queen of fun facts. You got any fun facts about the Bell Witch?
Oh my gosh. Like I said, I have like 3 of the books that have been written, and I have like notes, you know, just that I was reading from the one book, because basically, and I can even add later what the book is, but it's like they found a manuscript because they swore up and down, I think it's John Powell, Betsy did not want anything to do with this or anymore. She didn't want anything else to be spoken about later on in the family. Someone found the manuscript that John Powell wrote, who ended up marrying Betsy, because he was their teacher, and yeah, there was a huge age difference there. She was like 13 and he was like way older than her, we'll just say that much. But he was there for the entire thing. I mean, all of it. For a while there, they thought that maybe they had, in lieu of being excommunicated from the church, they had summoned up this demon to get empathy from the community and everything else. Was ever being tortured by her? And there's all these like little things here and there about that. She really liked John, and she loved Betsy's mom. Like, she asked so many times, she's like, Mom, why does she torture me? Can you ask her to stop torturing me? She's like, Baby, I've tried. I can't get her to stop. So she had people she loved, and she loved to talk. She loved to debate with people and have conversations. But John was there the whole time, just kind of watching everything. He even knew that she wanted Betsy to cancel the engagement to the other guy, which John was in love with her anyways. Her mom knew that John Powell was in love with her, and so he never said anything. He was going to let them get engaged, get married, go do whatever. So he just sat down one day and he wrote this supposed manuscript of every single thing that happens, and it is extremely detailed. It's a very, very good book. But there are even like some celebrities that came through here. Andrew Jackson came through one time just to see what this hubbub was about the Bell Witch and Adams. They were passing through, and he was not assaulted himself, but everyone in his party was being, I guess you would say, picked on by Kate. And he's like, you know, she didn't really do anything to me, but I don't ever want to run into her ever again.
That would be a no for me, dog.
Yeah, it's like, I'm out. So it's just, it's crazy to me. Like, there are so many fun little things to kind of go through and unpack there. But if you're focused on legend and you really, really want to know more about it, there's so many books.
There's so many books.
But a lot of them, the local ones here in Tennessee, Charles Bailey Bell is the first book I read when I was tiny. And then, of course, there's Charles Ingram, I believe is the name of the other guy. And then this guy that I read the manuscript for. So, yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff. And if you are in the area and you don't feel like reading, there are documentaries, of course. The Bell Funeral Home in Springfield has been there for years and years and years. And Bob Bell has still had some pretty scary instances with Kate. He's like, I was a skeptic growing up. I didn't believe it. One of the instances wasn't just him. It was at his grandmother's house. And they heard this big crash in the kitchen. And she had a china hutch. And bone china, all of it was laying on the floor, perfectly unkempt, just scattered out, sitting there. Not one break, nothing. They had
no idea. What kind of magic china was that?
I know, and he said it was like a lock. Well, it's like, I think it's like a locking hutch or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, like all this. There's no way that crash would have happened, and then nothing is.
Oh, girl, I know, girl. So, out here in the South, you know, all of our meemaws had the china cabinets.
Yes, and you weren't to touch it.
You sure didn't. And when you used one of those plates, you better be sure you did not break or chip it.
Yep. Exactly. Whew. They're going to jump onto you because you have permanent tattoos that cost too much money, but they have useless china sitting in the cabinet somewhere.
I mean, that's something for my therapist to talk about.
But there are a lot of stories like that. And Bob, like, he even went through one night, somebody he thought was, breaking into the house, and he slept through the house with his gun and was looking at everything. Nobody was there. So he just finally went back to bed, and he was like, okay, well, you know, it has to be her, because she still haunts the Bells, yeah. the Bell family, to this day.
I feel like I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
I guess I'm fine, because I'm just, like, I've been so exposed to it, and I'm like, okay, well, I think that there's so many other spirits out there as well.
True.
That I don't want to mess with half of them, but right. I'm just like, you know what, she's another spirit, and I'm not a Bell. So,
right. You're right.
You know what? I'm good. Not a Bell. It's fine. I'm not, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many different, like you were talking about, there's so many different books, there's so many different forms of media that discuss the Bell Witch. Some of them, though, are not great.
No.
One of my least favorites was the movie that was published in, I believe, 2000, or not published, but it came out in, I believe, 2005, and this is where our trigger warning is kind of extra serious from earlier, so just FYI if you're still listening. But in 2005, An American Haunting premiered in U.S. theaters. It was a movie that was trying to depict, like, an alternative explanation for the Bell Witch haunting. Because a lot of people have hypothesized about, like, what was it really? Because haunting's not real, right? So they're like, what could it have actually been? And we can talk about, there's a lady from Austin, or not a lady, there's a woman from Austin Peay who's a chemist.
Yes, she tried to debunk everything.
Who was discussing an alternative option to what the haunting could have been actually. But long story short, the American Haunting movie, honestly, I'm going to give it like 2 stars.
I'm going to give it 0 stars.
Not my favorite movie.
I'm still sort of a purist when it comes to the things that matter, so.
Right. And like, I probably could have enjoyed it more had I not felt like I already knew about the Bell Witch prior. Like, if it was the first time I'd ever watched anything dealing with her, I might have enjoyed it. But
because that plays into our, like, fascination with psychology.
Correct.
So, yeah.
So, in the movie, basically, it's like a modern-day family, and then it parallels to the Bell family. And the premise of the movie is that this haunting is happening to Betsy and John, and they can't figure out why. And then as the movie goes on, Betsy realizes that this entity that's torturing them was born.
Sorry, could you say that again?
I mean, Siri.
Sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Listen. Siri's trying to be a part. Is that the witch?
That's
is she
it.
Messing
She's
up
like,
my watch?
Yes, that's it.
What is happening, you guys? Okay, so now I'm just nervous. Okay, what was I saying? ADD. Squirrel.
The movie.
Yes. So Betsy.
Back and forth. Okay.
All this stuff is happening.
Guys,
both
we do have ADHD, both of us. So
it's a hard life. Both of them were being haunted. You know, Betsy's being held off the ground by her hair. John is being beaten, and he's having these horrible visions and all sorts of things. And it turns out Betsy figures out that she actually conjured this entity herself, because as a child her father had sexually assaulted her, and because of that sexual assault an entity was born to torture the both of them, and we couldn't be rid of the entity until Betsy poisoned her father later in life, and then he passed away. So that was just a really, to me, just a very strange version.
Hollywood being what it is, you know, yes. Just like, oh, we have this idea, and now we're going to take a quick breath of the idea and then go our own way with it.
Yeah, it was a whiff of the Bell Witch.
They pointed to Adams on the map and said yes, and then they went and did their own.
They used the word Bell and Witch, and they were like, this is the
thing.
But that wasn't the best, although, I mean, you know, watch it if you want to, not the best accurate account,
yes.
I suppose.
It may be a good movie independent of the fact that, because psychologically, yeah, I would be like, okay, this is one of those things that we can explain it that way.
Yes.
But when you're absolutely referring to it in another way, I'm like, no.
No, I'll pass. And then there was that chemist at Austin Peay. I can't remember her name, so I'm going to look it up really fast. If you want to talk about what she had said, do you
I don't remember, honestly.
Okay. So there was a chemist at Austin Peay who basically was trying to explain the Bell Witch, and I don't know how this came about. I don't know if she was just interviewed. And Austin Peay is a college in Tennessee. It's in Clarksville, Tennessee. And this chemistry professor, she like looks totally my vibe. By the way.
Oh, yeah. Wow. She's got that vintage rockabilly vibe.
Yeah, I'm super into the way she looks. I know that's superficial, but, like, she looks chill. So her name is Dr. Megan Mann. She's a chemistry professor. Shout out Megan Mann, Dr. Megan, if you're listening. Chemistry professor at Austin Peay, and she wrote a paper. That's what it was. She wrote a paper talking about how arsenic could have been used in the Bell Witch legend. So essentially, she was explaining that John Bell's death, because he did die of poisoning,
yes,
could have been related to arsenic poisoning, especially with some of the things, some of his experiences as far as the neurological symptoms he was experiencing, like weakness and visions and the throat situation. She thought it was maybe a slow poisoning, you know, from one of the people on the farm, whether it be family or some of the people who were working on the farm against their will, so to speak. So
also, if we're just chemistry wise, this just suddenly popped up in my head, something that I heard once upon a time, and I don't know how true it is, but different chemicals burn different ways, and I want to say something happened after he got poisoned in one of the legends or one of the books, that they threw the bottle in the fire and like blew smoke, something like that.
Something
came up.
Happened, yes, with smoke,
and yeah, some chemicals do burn certain colors. So yes, I'm curious to know maybe what, if arsenic does burn a certain color.
Oh, that's a great question. Yes, okay, it's right here.
Oh, hey!
In this article that's on Austin Peay's website, it says, according to Mann's paper, arsenic was widely available at the time in the form of rat poison. The two most interesting symptoms that apply in the John Bell case include dysphagia, which is with the throat, it says it in this quote, which is discomfort in swallowing, and the smell of garlic on the breath. Now, that's interesting. Both were part of the symptoms that he was experiencing. But the most compelling piece of evidence pointing towards arsenic poisoning was a blue flame that shot from the Bell chimney after the vial was thrown into the fireplace.
Okay, I thought that's what I had heard.
Which absolutely sounds super magical, but it's
really the chemical composition.
It is the chemical composition.
That's so cool.
Maybe I'm gonna sleep tonight after all. Maybe
no one's
that.
Gonna poison me with arsenic. It's fine.
No one's gonna poison me with arsenic. But I thought that was so interesting.
That is fascinating.
You know, she wrote the paper on, and there was a lot of other things she discussed in there as well. Talking about there was a cat that had died in one of the versions of the legend, and so
it could have also been like testing that poison possibly on the cat before using it on John.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, basically talking about that could have been explained why the cat died.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, she said she believes that she's not sure what happened. But she does think that he was probably poisoned, because that was at the time, you know, we're talking about a time where people were kept in slavery for labor. And
well, also too, he's having all these afflictions, so apothecary time, you know, we're gonna wonder about that. So someone could have easily changed his medicine and I think even Kate had said something like that, one day I'm gonna give old Jack his medicine or something like that. I think that she announced it right before he died.
He did it. So who knows, could it have been the Bell Witch that caused the death, or was it a someone on the farm that maybe wanted to free themselves from their greedy, awful owner, John, allegedly. I don't know you.
It could be a little bit of everything.
Don't come haunt me.
Yeah.
But definitely an interesting thing. You know, I really enjoy talking about stuff like this because, one, it's like part of childhood for us.
Yes.
And two, you know how we feel about spooky things.
I mean, and we are the spooky bitches.
We are the spooky bitches. but yeah, so what do you think about it? I want to know what everybody thinks about it. Send us an email. Leave us a comment.
If you've had any experiences.
Yes, if you know.
Please tell us.
Yes, 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 yes. If you know about the Bell Witch, if you've had experiences with the Bell Witch, if you have a local legend of your own.
Tell us.
Tell us what it is so that we can do our research and present it to all of our other listeners. This is like literally the best
Anyone has someone in Tennessee, because I already have one place I keep wanting to go to, is Brushy Mountain State Prison, because it's an old abandoned prison, but you can still go around and take pictures and go throughout there. And there's like even some of the old prisoners that will start talking to you about stories and stuff.
That live out there, like they're living prisoners.
They do have a ghost tour at night, but you know, naturally, it's more money than I have. So, and come to find out, I was like telling my mom how excited I was about going to this place, and my dad's like, "I used to work there."
Your dad does all the things. What's up with your family?
No, my dad really has done
all the things.
If you think of it, he's done it. Some of it he can't even talk about.
Oh,
no. But yeah, like little things like that. If you are even in Tennessee and we can drive and go to a spooky place, please let us know, because I absolutely love little mini daycations.
I want to meet other spooky bitches.
I know. Oh, even better. Yes.
Yeah. So are you a spooky bitch?
I mean, we know.
Let us know. Yeah. Anything else about the Bell Witch that stands out to you that you want to...
There's too much information. We know that I can talk about this for like 6 episodes probably.
Same.
So yeah.
Same.
That's why I wanted you to also do it, because I could just keep talking.
Rambling.
And I'd rather just like... interject with the little fun facts, and then and you have your structure.
Hey, you know how I feel about it. It's an anxiety.
Even though I have a binder, you know, I still have too much stuff in there. So
hey, you can never have enough. You can never have enough. Well, thanks so much for listening again.
We
couldn't do it without you guys. Make sure you rate and review, share it with a friend, send us an email. As always, we want your submissions. We want information, stories, ideas, things you want to hear from us. And stay safe.
Let me just 1 second while I'm thinking about it.
I'm so sorry.
I'm thinking about this, and I want to make sure that I put it on here for you guys. But our email.
Oh yeah, we should probably tell them.
We should tell them what the email even is. And I know it's a Gmail. I think that for that and some other stuff, I had to kind of tweak the names because they were already in play.
Somebody else has our name. Isn't it?
I believe it is Those Spooky Bitches, but I think it's a one instead of the I.
I think so too.
That's what I think.
So Those Spooky Bitches, and instead of an I, put a one at gmail.com.
Yes.
Send us your submissions. Send us your thoughts. Become our friend.
Absolutely.
Love us. Please.
Yes, please love us. And please, you know, especially like sharing with people and asking them to share, because, you know, word by mouth, per se, is the best way that we can get out there. We can do more. We can hear more from you guys and do episodes toward, like, your experiences as well. So we love to share, and we like to discuss things. And
yes,
the more we know, the more you know.
All right, you guys. Well, until next time, we'll see you later.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Bye.